Hi, Sasha.
Hi, Frances.
I'm so excited for you.
I have no doubt.
Did you?
No.
I'm hiding out in Joy and Janelle's office.
You're hiding out where?
In Joy and Janelle's office.
Oh, really? How do you know that there's nobody that's going to be walking in today?
I just figured, well, they're not here, so.
They'll definitely be there.
Should be fine. They know I'm in here.
Do they know you're in there?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All right, cool. Well, then maybe they'll just let you have your space.
Yeah, they know I'm on a phone call in here.
That's great. Can you teach today after this?
Not until 2:30, but I'm going to take Ashley's hat.
Nice. Yeah, good. Yay. Hey, before the other people come on, do you want to be a volunteer to have me coach you today?
Oh, sure.
Or not? Is that cool?
Yeah, what do I have to do, though?
Nothing. I'll just guide you.
Okay.
I'm going to coach you.
Okay.
I'm just going to do a little demo session, so you don't have to do anything but be who you are.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So just waiting for the other three to dial in. Sometimes the first time people tend to be a little bit late. So hopefully not too late. Good morning, Jessica. This is Sasha.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. We've got Frances on the line, and we're just waiting for two other people.
Okay.
So I'll... Good morning, Nicole. This is Sasha.
Hi. How are you?
Very well. How are you doing?
Great, thank you.
Good, awesome. We're just waiting for Olga to join the call, and then we'll get started. And I'm going to go over a lot of logistics, but the one that I wanted to say right now is if you are in a place where there is potentially any background noise, you can always press *6 on your phone.
Okay.
Or your computer, you could hit the microphone, and then obviously press *6 again to unmute when you want to speak.
Okay, great. Thank you.
That's for everyone. Anyone on a headset? How about, is there anyone that isn't on a headset? All right, you guys might be muted and can't talk to me. We're just going to wait maybe one. Good morning, Olga. This is Sasha.
Good morning. How are you? Am I the first one?
You are the last one.
Oh, the last one. Okay.
It's okay. It's all good. It's all good. So before we dive into any of this, I'd like to set the tone by doing a little grounding. So hopefully nobody is driving. Is anyone driving? Good.
No.
So close your eyes. And whether you're seated on the floor or seated on a chair, just find a tall spine. And just tap into the quality of your breath. Just notice the inhalation and exhalation. And allow it to settle you into your space. And as you tap into the physical sensations, I would also like you to tap into any somatic experiences that you're having right now. first of 12 weeks on this journey together. And you all probably have different intentions. And the first time not knowing each other, we may have a sense of nervousness or anxiety, excitement. So just feel what you're feeling in your body. Tap into, again, that somatic sense. Come out of your head and drop into your heart. And take a brief moment here to check in with why this program has called to you in this way. What is your intention? And for you, it may shift, it may evolve over the 12-week period, and it's normal. But in this precise moment, it's calling to you. Take a deep breath in, out your mouth, let it go. And slowly flutter your eyes open. And welcome. Good morning, ladies. So thanks for being here. We'll go through a little welcome so we can get to know each other a little bit. And I'll start. So I don't know if you got a chance to read my bio. It's certainly not like everything I've done my entire life. It gives you a sense of me. My life before yoga, basically since I stepped out of the womb, was tennis. And I played my entire life. I played for college, and then I went right into the pros, which was awesome. And then I fell right into teaching, and it was just a natural segue for me. And it wasn't until about 10 years ago that I found yoga to heal an injury from tennis. And as most people, I fell in love with it quickly, and it quickly became less about the physical and more about the spiritual, and that's what I was craving. So it makes so much sense that I was on the path to then teach yoga, and I've been teaching full-time for about 3 years. Before I did find yoga and that piece of teaching for me, I stepped into getting certified as a life coach. A good friend of mine invited me to a seminar, and I fell in love with that too. So this program really, in such a brilliant way, merges my two passions in life, yoga and life coaching, or mentor coaching as it's called here. And so I find really a lot of gratitude in being able to empower people, whether they're on the mat or off, to find what serves them best and find their highest and most authentic selves. So that's why I'm here, and I'm so looking forward to this 12-week journey with all of you, and I want to get to know some of you. I do also want to say that I teach all styles of yoga except for hot yoga, and I live in Boulder, and I teach at Core Power Yoga with Francis, who's actually on the call. So I'm excited to have one of my colleagues joining this program. And since I mentioned Francis, would you mind starting us off and just sharing basically your name, where you live, how long have you been teaching, if you do teach, and your intention for this program?
Sure. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm Francis, and I have been teaching yoga for just over 5 years. And I also teach at Core Power. I've taught at a few different other places as well, but right now I only teach at Core Power. And I currently live in Nederland, Colorado, which is a little mountain town 30 minutes up the canyon from Boulder. And I'm doing this program just to enhance what I already do. And I was just in a space in my life where I felt like there was something more to add to it. And I knew Sasha was a life coach, but I know she led the program, so it all ended up working out perfectly. And I'm here, and I'm really excited.
so great. Thank you for being here, Frances. Who would
Thank
like
you.
To go next? And again, if you're done talking and there is background noise, feel free to hit *6 to mute. Who would like to go next?
Hi, my name's Nicole.
Thanks,
I'll go
Nicole.
Next. Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
My name's Nicole Doherty. I live in Venice, California, and I work at Yoga Works, and I am a teacher, and recently made a switch from, I've been teaching for over 5 years, but I've also been straddling the fence with jobs that are full-time as well. So it got to the point where I was working 80 hours a week consistently for the last several years and was very, very burnt out, teaching 9-10 classes a week, going to work. And I came across some very deep spiritual work and healed a lot of personal trauma in my life over the last couple of years. And through circle work and lots of different modalities, I became a Reiki practitioner and decided to finally at least go part-time with the job and was really looking for something that I could offer my students, because a lot of my students come to me after classes with issues, problems, traumas, and just people in my life do. And I was reading over the mentor coaching materials last night and was like, okay, of course, this is exactly what I want to be doing with my yoga. And so I feel like it kind of found me because Yoga Works was offering the program to its teachers with you guys in partnership. So it was an awesome opportunity. And so I took it. And now I'm hoping to transition fully out of the marketing job this year and do some life coaching and teaching and Reiki as well.
Wow. That's awesome, Nicole. So much for
mm-hmm.
your last program. I'm sure you're aware we had 7 Yoga Works teachers on the call, and so I wasn't sure if you had connected them and learned about this program. But, yes, the Coach Training Alliance in Yoga Works has a and it's a brilliant one. And I'm really, really glad that you've stepped into this program, and I hope it brings you everything that you're looking for. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Olga or Jessica?
Hello. Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Olga.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Jessica. My name is Olga Jim. I live in New York. I have my own insurance business for over 20 years, and I became a coach like 5 years ago, and it was more for self-development. I had gotten coached when I was in my early 30s. I'm 53 now. And I saw that it was so, so helpful for me. And so when I had the opportunity while I was raising my kids to do the coaching program at the Open Center, I took advantage of that. Now because of my business and raising my kids and just having a lot of personal issues, I just didn't feel prepared, you know, to do the coaching. However, this past year, I do have a client now for the past 9 months. And I also became certified as a yoga teacher, and I teach as a substitute teacher when, you know, the teacher's on vacation, and I also do prenatal yoga. And the focus that I want in coaching is helping women entrepreneurs with, quote-unquote, you know, life balance. And trying to incorporate coaching and yoga was something that always said, I remember sharing with the owner of the studio. It's like, I really want to do something with yoga and coaching because I just find that these two things have helped me so much. And then when I came across this, you know, the yoga and the coaching, I said, oh, my God, you know, this is where I belong. So that's the reason why I registered and I look forward to, you know, these next 12 weeks and what that's going to, you know, grow in me so I can bring to others and be able to help others as well as myself.
That's beautiful. Gotcha. Thanks, Olga. So far with Nicole and Olga, you know, there are no synchronicities. I mean, there are no coincidences. I believe in synchronicities, and the timing of both of you to be in this program sounds like it's exact. And I do believe strongly in a deep spiritual practice, and it sounds like we're all on the same page there. I'm looking forward to hearing from Jessica. But Olga, do you mind me asking where you got certified in your coaching 5 years ago?
It was at the Open Center through Leadership That Works.
Open Center. Great. Okay, and what style of yoga do you teach when you do sub?
Hatha yoga.
Hatha. Great. Okay, thank you so much. Jessica?
Yes, hi, good morning.
Hi.
So I actually work with Nicole. Hi, Nicole.
Oh, okay, great.
And I also work in the back office. I lead our teacher training and continuing education department, and I find that deeply rewarding, and I believe that being a good manager is kind of part of my dharma. It's something that fulfills me if I can help someone have just an amazing experience at work and feel like they're contributing and they're seen and they're valued. So I actually think that this will make me the best manager and executive that I can be, and help me, even if I'm not having sessions with my employees, really ask the right questions so that they feel empowered. And that's my primary objective. And then my secondary objective is I've been teaching for about 3 years, and I also am a Reiki master, so I'm offering Reiki services to my clients. And I've noticed that even though the Reiki is very powerful and the yoga is very powerful, I'm obsessed with transformation, and sometimes there's transformation that we can't fully process without some words and without some intellect. So I think that the coaching will help me help people access that on a more, I don't want to say intellectual level, because I know it's all coming from the heart, it's all from the same space, but we have to be able to tell our own narratives to make sense of the feeling that we're going through. So I think that this will really help me be a more well-rounded teacher and a more well-rounded Reiki person. And then selfishly, I'm doing it for myself too, because I have some big goals this year. I've been working on this project, this book, for the last year, Bridging Business and Yoga, and it's called The Executive Sutras, Yoga Wisdom for Business Leaders, and it's like one little mini chapter a day, and it's nuggets of yoga philosophy and how that impacts us in our business lives. And it's primarily written for women, but it's really for anyone who wants to be more awake and more intentional in their work. And I've drafted everything, but it's in these note cards. And now is the final push where I really want to write it, and I really want to self-publish and have it ready for people before the holidays of this year.
Wow.
So that's what I want to do.
Okay.
With this course. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. And I'm assuming you live in Venice as well?
I live by the airport, but similar, yeah. Nicole and I live like 3 miles away.
Okay. California.
Yeah.
Great. Another Yoga Works teacher. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. You guys are bringing so much to the table already, and I know that developing these principles and these life coaching skills are only going to enhance the things that you're already calling in, and I'm already hearing some big stuff. So I'm looking forward to how all of this is going to unfold for each of you. So thank you for sharing. So I just want to dive into some of the logistics and get these out of the way. Did everyone receive, or it's easier for us to say it, did anyone not receive the electronic version of the manual, the syllabus, and the yoga supplement? Is there anything that someone has not received?
I'm not sure if I received the electronic version. Did that come in an email as well? I saw the syllabus. This is Nicole.
So you got the syllabus. You got the supplement, but you don't
have
the manual?
I have the manual printed, but I don't know that I have an electronic version.
I don't think I have the
Francis. Okay.
I don't think I got the...
I don't think I got the electronic
version either.
Then, as long as you've got the hard copy, you've got a copy, they might have done away with the electronic version. I haven't checked in on that since my last program. So as long as you all have a copy of the manual, the syllabus, and the yoga supplement, we're good to go. And then I just wanted to make sure that I have everybody's email address correct. If you've received emails from me, then obviously I do, and I sent out an email on the past notes, which is going over a lot of the logistics, but also what you hopefully read to prepare for today's call. And then I also sent out a PDF from Dr. Dave on developing your mentor story. Did anyone not receive those two emails from me? Great. Okay, so after today's call, I will be sending, or maybe in a couple hours after today's call, I'll be sending you a link to the class page, which is on the CTA website. And that basically houses any important documents that we need. It'll also house the recorded versions of our calls. People like to go back and listen, even though they were on the call live. But certainly it's a tool to have to use to review anything you may have missed if you're missing of the 12 weeks. So all of these calls are being recorded. They're also confidential. You'll have a password for the first time to sign into that page. So it's not like anyone can just log on and be privy to these calls. They're all confidential. Okay. Next thing is, because we're on the phone, I mean, I know what Frances looks like, and Frances knows what I look like, and you guys do from my bio, but I would love to know what you guys look like. So I would like to ask you to send a picture and just a brief bio, like one or two sentences. Send it to me, and then I'll send it out to the group so we can, we're talking to. And I will ask that you get that to me by Friday. Is that manageable?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Great. And then by the second class, or the next week, I will send a buddy list. So this is going to be pretty simple. There's just four of us now. There may be two more people joining in this week. But I love it because it's such a small and intimate group, lots of one-on-one time, especially in the coach-to-coach, immediate feedback. So I will send a buddy list out, and it's basically just a simple check-in. There's a little bit of background noise, so if someone can press star six, that would be great. Thank you so much. So I'll send the buddy list out by Friday, and it's just basically checking in. You can practice coaching. You can talk about the homework. You can. It's just a place to get support. Pretty easy. And then I'll also send a coach-to-coach schedule. So going into in the next piece, I'm going to go into the format of these calls, but everyone will get a chance to be the coach, be the client, and be here. And with four people, you're going to get lots of opportunities. And we'll do that starting the third week. And we'll do a demo call, a demo session today. I'll be coaching Frances, so you can get a feel for what it looks like. And then we'll do another demo on the second week. And then the third week, through the rest, through 12, it's all about you guys. So if there are any dates that you know that you are definitely not going to be available any Tuesdays from here on out, please email those to me so I won't schedule you to be in any one of those roles on that day. And then once the schedule is made, because life happens, right, if you find that you have to miss the call for some reason, it's your responsibility to reach out to one of the other three. And that'll be challenging because it's only one other person that would be available. The other two are going to be in the session to see if they can switch with you. But if you run into any issues, we'll work it out. Okay? Everybody good so far?
Yes.
You might be muted. That's okay.
Yes. Right.
All right. So really important if you can maybe by tomorrow send me any dates that you won't be available through this session. Okay. So basically the format from here on out looks like this. Every week we will do a grounding. So I love working with yoga teachers because we know how important that is. We all live in different time zones, and our mornings can feel rather scattered. Who knows what the morning is going to hold for us. So it's really, really important, just like you come to your mats, to get grounded. And I'm just going to ask you guys here, you know, as we get onto the call, just rotate around who would like to lead the grounding. And whatever you choose to do is absolutely fine. So there are no parameters around that. The next thing we'll do is we check in. We'll do a brief check-in. And, again, I love the intimacy of this group because we can go around. With a bigger group, it sometimes eats up too much time. But checking in with one win and one challenge that you experienced during the week. Maybe anything, personal, professional, with this work, on your mat, anything. And then I'll check in to see if anybody had questions on the reading material. And I really invite you to navigate around the binder if you haven't already and just be prepared to read and share. It's a super interactive course. And the more you pay, you know, the deeper your understanding and knowledge is going to become. With the coach-to-coach sessions that we have at the top of the hour, so I'll go by my time zone, which is 11 Mountain, from 11 to 11:15, we'll do the coach-to-coach session. And then from 11:15 to 11:30, that's our time to give feedback. And everyone will have an opportunity to give feedback on what they heard or what they have inquiries on regarding the coach-to-coach session that they just experienced. And I will also give my feedback as well. And that is one of the most powerful tools in developing your coaching skills, is to actually have hands-on immediate feedback. And it's kind of scary, right? It's when you're going into an inversion for the first time, right? It's kind of scary. We're going to step into our fear, and we're going to shine because we're going to learn along the way, and we're going to grow, and we're going to be open to the process without judgment. And I can't wait. That's my favorite piece. So any questions so far about anything we've discussed, logistically or otherwise? And if you're muted, press star 6 to unmute. Okay. I guess I've been rather clear. That's good. All right, we are going to dive into our agenda for today. Did everyone have a chance to read the workbook, pages 5 through 9 and 21 through 44?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, great. So let's to page 21 in your manual. If everyone can get there. And the most perfect place to start from Olga, who sounds like she does have an experience of coaching, and you guys may have a client role. But can someone share with me what they would describe as the difference between a coach, actually, what is mentor coaching to you? How would you define it?
Hi, this is Nicole. One thing that really jazzed me about reading the reading last night was that I felt like a mentor coach is someone who focuses on the client and not necessarily their problem, but the present and how to find solutions. And so that really resonated with me because I feel like in therapy, you're constantly revolving around the same issues and talking about the same problems, whereas coaching, you're actually getting the client to come to the solution on their own. So you're not necessarily giving them the answers. You're allowing them to come to the answer themselves.
Brilliant. That is one of the distinct features of mentor coaching versus therapy. And we'll get into that in just a couple of minutes. Does anyone else want to add their feel for definition of what mentor coaching is? The experience on your own as a client or as a coach?
This is Jess. I just wanted to continue on what Nicole said, and I think it's really powerful that the focus is on the client and also this assumption that there's really nothing to fix, that everything is already great, and it's more about enhancing and empowering versus, like, you know, shoring up a weakness, or it's just very positive and it's very client-focused. Like, it sounds, you know, we hear it all the time, but that the answers are already within the client. And so we're just a facilitator, and they're on their own exploration.
Absolutely. So on target. And I'm going to ask you, do you prefer Jesse?
Pardon me?
Do you prefer Jess or Jesse?
Oh, you know, it's, I actually go by Jess. But my last name is Schmidt, okay. And when you say Jess Schmidt together, my first and last name, it sounds like a bunch of mud in between because all the S's and the SCH run together. So anything in writing okay. is always Jessica Schmidt, but whenever I say my name without my last name, I always say Jess.
All right, thanks for that clarification. My brother's yeah. name is Jess, so I will remember that. Could you share a yoga parallel to what you just said about the client or the student having all the answers within them, and we're just there as a facilitator to help empower them to see that?
Sure. I mean, nothing, I don't know, this is just what comes to mind, but I guess this idea that, like, we don't really know what the student is experiencing in their body. Like, we provide the alignment and the structure, but we don't know what their, like, chitta vritti are, what their, you know, issues are, or what, you know, kind of what's coming up for them, but it's just about that consistent structure and that perspective. Like, we can be that set of eyes watching what their knee is doing and, you know, side angle or whatever it is. So I guess that would be an example.
Yeah, that's a great example. And we're going to be using a parallel of yoga to this course throughout the entirety. So many things come up that are similar. It's absolutely brilliant. So if you all could now to page 33, I just want to expand a little bit on what Nicole brought up, the coaching versus therapy and counseling. Olga, would you just read those bullet points for us, please?
Sure. Therapists focus on the past. Coaches focus on the present and immediate future. Therapists focus on fixing problems and conflicts. Coaches co-create solutions. Therapists focus on recovering. Coaches focus on discovering. Therapists are professional experts. Coaches are colleagues and collaborators. Therapists focus on ending the old story. Coaches co-create a new story. Therapists focus on trauma and healing. Coaches focus on goals and succeeding. Therapists are required to keep their personal feelings and thoughts removed. Coaches are use personal disclosure as a selective tool to catalyze and challenge their clients.
Yeah. So does anything stand out for any of you on the sense, because this is a really huge distinction that I want you to take away with after this first call today, the biggest difference between coaching and therapy. Does it stand out as a concern or a question on these bullet points?
Well, I had, because I really haven't had that much experience with coaching except this year when I got certified 5 years ago. My client said to me, I've done so much therapy in the past, but I have this sense of hope every time I finish the call. And, you know, that really resonated with me because I think that she probably left, her therapist's office feeling down, just going over and over, her past issues and not really looking forward. So that's what just came up for me after reading.
That's great. Can you share a little bit more? Like, what are some of the tools that you use to empower your client to feel like there was hope when you were done with your session? What were some of the differences that you brought?
It's almost, she is resourceful. I forgot her name, who just said, everyone has all the answers. We're just helping them find all the answers by asking these open-ended questions and by us really listening and connecting energetically, as well as intellectually. But I think it's more energetic because all of a sudden, I don't know, it's God's presence. It's something that says, oh, okay, this is a moment that I need to ask this particular question. And then it just happens. It's like a miracle, some of the calls.
It's a great feeling, isn't it? And I love that you brought in the energetic piece because as students of yoga, practitioners, and as teachers of yoga, I think we all have a sense of that energetic quality and tapping into something on the mat that, just speaking generally, a lot of people that don't have a spiritual practice may not be able to tap into. And when you bring quality that you own to the collaborative process with your clients, it just brings in one more layer to connect with your clients. So I love that you brought that up. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes. And so the way that I would, let me just ask again, any other inquiries on these bullet points? Are they pretty straightforward for you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So the language that I use when people say, well, what's the difference? To me, what I learned and what I still say is, because I was in therapy and I was life coaching, and I was lucky enough to have a therapist and a life coach in one person. And so, but the therapy part is basically issues in the past. And it's almost like the therapist and the client are not on an equal playing field. The therapist sets the agenda. And it's about healing emotional trauma, past issues, sometimes even working with a changing personality. When you take a broader look, at mentor coaching, you meet the client in that present moment. And you're working with emotionally healthy clients, establishing strategies and with SMART goals, which we'll get into in a little bit towards the end of this call, to move them in the direction that they want to go. You're in a co-collaborative relationship, so where the client and the coach are on an equal field, and the coach is responsible for holding the client's agenda and using powerful questions, all the tools you're going to use, keeping them in action, keeping them accountable. You're helping them move to where they want to be, to what they say is important to them. So I often get asked, well, what if the emotion comes in? What if I have an issue in the past? It's not about cutting off dealing with any emotional issues. As a life coach myself, if I am working with a client and we get into territory that I don't feel qualified as a coach to help that client with, then I will refer out. Like if I feel like they're in a space where they need some emotional healing, some deeper work around past trauma, et cetera, that's not my gig. I can't and I won't work with that client because I can't provide them what they need. But the clients that we take on in this field are people that are healthy, that are maybe just stuck, and they want to move through challenges in their life. They want to create change in their life, and they're just not sure how to get there. So that's where we come in a co-collaborative way. Any questions on that? You guys are so quiet. Are you shy on the first call? Okay. I just did. All right. Great. I just wanted to make sure that that is clear because that's a really, really big distinction that starts us off.
I have one comment on that. I was just, this is Nicole. Cool. I think one of the great things about this being with yoga instructors, too, is that I feel like a lot of emotional stuff that comes up can also be well supported or nurtured with a yoga practice and with a breathing practice and with meditation practice. So I'm curious, when things come up, do you offer yoga and breathwork and breathing as part of kind of a package with your life coaching per se? And I'm sure we'll talk about business aspects of this later, but versus, or is this like a very, very deep something that comes up and you're just like, oh, wow, this is definitely something that I don't think yoga or meditation could resolve?
Say that last piece again, like if I find that I'm in a place where I'm not sure if I can serve that client, would I offer mindfulness-based practice versus referring them out to a therapist? Is that your question?
Well, I'm just curious if you would go toward, if you would lean towards yoga, breath work, perhaps meditation practice versus sending them out to a therapist, or has this come up where it's been something really, really deep and it was very clear that you were to send them to a therapist?
That's an awesome question, Nicole, and one I've never been asked. So thank you for bringing awareness. It hasn't come up for me, so I can't give you my experience. But if I had to give you some my thoughts right here in this moment, a lot of people that I work with, especially here in Boulder, have a mindfulness business. But there are people that I work with across the country over the phone that do not. And that's what I was saying earlier. When you tap into that spiritual piece, and that energetic piece and that experience that you have when you're on your mat or on your cushion or doing pranayama, it's amazing the difference. You can tap into the somatic experience, and a lot of people that, in my opinion, that do not have a spiritual mindfulness practice are disconnected between their head and their heart. And so it's a challenging space to get them to their center from a place that they can then launch forward. So I don't know. I would always offer a mindfulness-based practice, but it's just, I think it would have to be in that moment how I felt. And if maybe the mindfulness practice wasn't working, I just want to support the client in the best way that's going to serve them. But that's a great question.
Thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome. Any other questions? Okay. Moving forward, let's turn to page. Hang on 1 second here.
You know what, Sasha? Sorry, this is Jess. I was trying to unmute. I do have a question.
Okay, please.
Is there any norm or protocol around permission? So if you're having a clearly articulated like coaching session, that's one thing. But, you know, if you're working with a client in yoga or Reiki or, you know, one of your employees or a friend, like, do you have to kind of ask their permission to move into more coach mode, or is it just something you intuit?
to move into a coach mode when you're not in session with a client?
Yeah, I mean, the reason I ask is, for instance, like in Reiki, you have to get kind of energetic permission before you give someone, start sending someone Reiki or giving someone Reiki. And for coaching, like, I guess you would probably know if someone is open to looking at things through more of a coaching lens. But I was just thinking, you know, if I'm on the phone with a friend, or obviously this will like weave throughout all the aspects of my life, but I just was wondering if there's any phrase like, oh, would you like to explore this further through coaching or through mentor coaching? Like, is there something that you ask to start more intentionally bringing in the coach skill set?
Yeah. I love that question, Jess. If you're already in that coaching relationship, it is understood that you're mm-hmm. collaboratively working together. The tools and skills and principles that you're going to learn through this program, you can bring to all aspects of your life, and it doesn't necessarily have to be led in by, do you want to be coached? I mean, it might turn into that down the road, but some of the tools and skills and language, like Olga talked about powerful questions and listening, you're coaching when you are engaging with someone in that way. You don't have to necessarily say you want to be coached, but mm-hmm. you just gave a brilliant example. Would you be open to explore?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just allowing them to say yes or no. And mm-hmm. then you can dive in a little deeper. And then, you know, I've gotten a lot of clients just by having a normal conversation, and the way that you ask them and have them think about things, they're like, huh, I want more of that. You know, how do I get more of that? You know, it's a different way of engaging your employees, your supervisors, your relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's listening is the most powerful tool, and I don't think we often listen enough. And I say this, the universe gave us two ears and for a reason, to listen mm-hmm. more and to talk less. And so I'm not sure if that answered your question, but as you grow in this training, you're going to find so many ways to have conversations with the people in your everyday and be
mm-hmm.
under a coaching umbrella.
Mm-hmm. That was helpful. Thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome. Anyone else?
I have a question.
Okay, I'm sorry. I sometimes there's a little delay, so if I start, just interrupt me and stop.
One of the things that has come up since I've been yoga,
Olga? Is this Olga?
Yes. Hello?
Okay, I just wanted to have you guys say your name, like get to know your voices a little bit.
Oh, okay. So this is a question. How can one incorporate this coaching? Let's say if you want to talk about the kleshas and, you know, the obstacles, it's for people to explore that. Like if I wanted to do a workshop around that, let's say, it's like stuff that's been coming up for me, but like, I don't have the time to like sit down and work on this, but I don't know. I feel this connection that maybe something like that can be done. Like, was it just kind of saying about the book? Yeah. Book that she's working on. So how can we, let's say, work on that in, as a group setting, when we're doing a class instead of just one-on-one?
I may need for you to clarify your question. Are you referring to bringing life coaching to a workshop on the kleshas?
Yes, for example, as an example.
Well, I would say, and I may parking lot this for a bit until we get through these first couple of calls, because what you'll find sharing with Jess is that when you learn the skill set and you really hone it, you can bring it into whatever you're passionate about. Bring it into your yoga space. You can bring it into relationships. You can start your own coaching practice. You can do workshops. And if that's okay with you, I'd like to parking lot answering that in more specifics right now. But just
okay.
Know that we will get to that and it will evolve.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. Francis, are you there? Breathing, my friend?
I am here. I've just been muted.
Okay. Checking on you because I know that you're in an office where people are coming in and out. All right.
Yeah, it's been fairly quiet, but I'm here.
That's okay. You're taking it all, and I just wanted to check and make sure that you were still connected. All right. If everyone can now turn, please, to page 101. And we're just going to spend about 10 minutes or so to the top of the hour to talk about SMART goals. This is another huge piece to this program. And I wondered if anybody would be willing to share their experience, if they've ever done something like this, if they're familiar with SMART goals, and sort of how that manifested in you reaching or not reaching your goals.
Hi, this is Nicole. I don't know if I've actually used this specific SMART goals, but I've used something very similar, which I think I got originally from a goal-setting seminar by Lululemon, and it was very similar as I'm looking at this. It was to be very specific, to make them measurable, to write it in the present tense, and to put a timeline to it. So I recently did this in March of 2013, and I have them on index cards, and I put them on my altar.
And that's nice.
It was... Someone just dropped.
She'll be back. This happens. The world of technology.
So it was very specific, and you had to basically say what you wanted to do and then backtrack it to current time. And it only could be over, I think it was a course of maybe a year and a half or 2 years or something like that. And I'm looking at the list, and I've accomplished all of them. And so it's really energizing because it just happened. And it happened so specifically, almost to the actual date in every single case, which was awesome. So.
Welcome back, Olga.
Yeah, I got disconnected for some reason.
That's
I don't know
okay.
What happened.
It's not going to be the first or last time.
No, okay.
Congratulations. That's a big thing. Over a year and a half, two-year period, or you couldn't go further than that?
Yeah, it was just, well, I knew actually how long generally it would take me, and Jess actually knows this because we work together, but I said I wanted to be a teacher trainer at YogaWorks by 2015 or 2016 because I figured it would take that long, but then I backtracked, well, what would I need to do to get there? So then you put it into chunks that are smaller and measurable, so... I knew that, number one, I would have to get classes on the schedule, and then the second step would be to have multiple classes on the schedule, so I would have people that I could pull into a training, and then how many assists I would need by what date, and I'm in that process right now. So I'm now assisting a yoga teacher training by this spring. It actually happened in right now, and so it's actually before the spring, and then I'll assist two by the fall. So hopefully I'll get one more this year. And then by then, I'll have two assists and then third assist. And so you just keep going in little tiny chunks and steps. And then that would eventually lead me to then be a trainer. And so I backtracked all the way to the present moment when I did this. And all of those steps to get to the assist by those time frames all have happened in exactly that order. So it's really cool to watch
that
them all happen. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is really cool, and that's thank you for your experience because I fully believe in school, and not everyone is having goals even as we enter the new year and about intention and evolution and change in the new year. You know, some people do, some people don't, but I think this is a great tool, not only in service to yourselves for your life, but also to understand how this works, to be able to share it with your client. If it works for you and you're behind it and you've had experience and wisdom around, you're going to be able to use it as an amazing tool with your clients. It is all about baby steps. Okay, so breaking it down into chunks. So here, the way that it's broken down, SMART goals, and Nicole already tapped into these. So they're specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. And you can see those right there. So I like to encourage, and this is going to be part of your OM work, O-M work, that you're going to just start playing around with your SMART goals and start thinking about them. And if you've just completed your SMART goals, like Nicole has, then you know, you can create some new ones. But I would like for you to look out like the next 30, 60, and 90 days. Really no further than that. We're just going to keep it, you know, rather small. And, you know, a goal for the next 30 days, a goal for the next 60 days, and a goal for the next 90 days. And then for each goal, this is under initiatives, you're going to establish three key initiatives that move you toward that goal. So I'm going to, if you're okay with this, Nicole, give me one example of a goal that you had, and just be really brief. A goal that you had, and then maybe two or three, one or two steps that you took to be in action.
Well, I guess to assist a teacher training might be an example, and three things I needed to do to move towards that assist was send out, basically make a case for myself to the teacher manager, so create and establish a relationship with her. And then get the classes on the schedule. And then build my classes, I guess, could be three goals. That does sound like pretty lofty goals. I mean, that was over a year, but.
Right.
But, yeah, so those are three ways I knew I had to do, yeah, to get it.
Great. So are we all on the same page so far that we're going to have, you're going to create your 30 and 90-day goals. And for each of those goals that you write out, you are going to establish three key initiatives to move to that goal. Once you do that piece, the final piece is for each of those three initiatives, or now there'll be nine, decide on the next best action. So I'm going to come back to you, Nicole. Pick one of those that you just shared and something that you will take action on, meaning within the next 24 hours. Is there anything you can give from one of the things that you just shared, like getting in touch with the managers? What did you do immediately?
When I knew I had to establish that relationship, I just I sent an email to her and let her know. I let her know all the classes I've been subbing, what other studios I've been teaching at, what my background was, and asked her to go out for coffee or tea. Tea for yogis. And so that prompted a meeting with her. So that was a small step I could take in that direction.
Great. Thank you. Francis, would you just briefly read application at the bottom, from the bottom of 101 to the top of 102? This is important regarding change in the client. Thanks.
People with repetitive behavior have spent time understanding an old story or focused on old behaviors and patterns, but understanding and further analysis aren't enough to bring about change. These individuals need a new story to be in before they can give up an old one.
keep going till the end?
Okay. Just through the book.
So beginning a session with a question such as... What?
Go.
So beginning a session with questions such as, what are your goals for this session? Or what would you like for us to get done today focuses on the immediate. Setting specific goals enhances motivation. Establishing strategies enhances focus. This is also a model for the outside world.
That's good. That's good.
I'm sorry, there was such a delay in our talking. So sorry to interrupt you. So basically, you know, just what Frances is reading here is, as a coach, and when we learn the powerful questions to ask, you're really diving into what their new story, helping them to create a new story. They are the architects, or we are the architects of our own lives. And until we can step out of an old story, we're not going to step into a new story, which simply means just bringing awareness to it, not hanging out there, that old story, or hanging out in the old story. We're in therapy, all right? But just using that as a springboard towards moving forward. And some people want to write a new ending to an old story, and that's not what mentor coaching is about. Mentor coaching is about using knowing that the client is creative, resourceful, and whole, has the answers within them, and we are their collaborator with their support system to further their learning and deepen their action into their goals. So I'd just like for you to, we'll get to the homework at the end of the call, but just sort of play around with these and see what resonates, and just maybe begin to write down some things. Any questions on SMART goals? Okay, and one thing I failed to mention, the three initiatives are really designed to be done in the next 7 to 10 days. The next best steps are designed to be done within 24 hours. So this, you're actually constructing a roadmap and you're measuring your progress. And along the way, you want to celebrate each small victory to keep yourself and your clients motivated. Okay, great. Lots of information to start. So we're at the top of the hour, and I am going to do a demo coach-to-coach session for 15 minutes with Frances. And I would like for Nicole, Jess, and Olt to hit start to mute yourselves. We'll do the session, and then I'll ask you to unmute yourself. We'll just share some and go through just some more questions about that experience. Frances, don't mute. Okay. Frances, are you there?
I am here.
Awesome. Thanks for volunteering. How are you feeling right now after an hour of being on this call?
Pretty good. I'm excited about it all.
Good. So I just wanted to check in and see if there's anything specific you wanted to talk about or what's on your mind that I can support you with during this session.
Well, I guess lately it's been a time where I've realized that I need to make some adjustments just lifestyle-wise, and being in the mountains for, I guess this would be our second winter, but our first full winter up there. It's taking me some time to get used to not being able to go outdoors as much and being as active as I want to be. So I definitely felt more frustrated in that aspect. And, you know, yoga is awesome, but there's some things that yoga can't cover, like rock climbing and going hiking outdoors. So there's just been this part of me that's not being fed as much. And so I love living up there, so I'm realizing that I just need to adjust in some way. And I've been kind of contemplating that.
So just clarify for me, is the adjustment in living up in that area being able to live outdoors because it's winter, or do you feel disconnected and they offer more things to serve your lifestyle?
It's because it's winter and the weather is just so extreme lately.
Okay. If I'm understanding you correctly, you'd like to sort of fine-tune, make some adjustments so that you lessen the frustration around being able to do some more things that suit you on so many levels with your lifestyle. Is that correct?
Yep. Right.
Great. And so if you had to design it, Frances, what would a day look like that would really bring you fulfillment in your heart and passion look like in terms of your lifestyle? What would you be doing?
I would wake up, go teach a yoga class, and then go to Boulder Canyon and go do some climbing and go home and relax. That would be a perfect day right now.
And what is keeping you from living that way on a daily basis?
Lately it's been the weather, and sometimes it's just convenience with times and when it gets dark and things like that.
So I am so with you on the winter thing. I don't like the winter, and it's cold and it's dark and it's we want to nestle indoors and be warm. So what are some things that you can adjust, knowing that we can't control the weather, that winter is here and it's going to be for a few more months, right? Are there some ways that you can adjust your schedule to something where the weather is not affecting, maybe doing something indoors? Just talk to me. Let's explore that a little bit.
I guess there's the indoor gym, the climbing gym. So that's one option that I can utilize when it's not as nice outdoors. And we had actually been talking about building a home climbing wall just in our place. So we
cool.
could, I could take more initiative to get that going, and then we'd have that.
Those are great options. Which one speaks to you more in this moment? Which one can you put more energy into?
The home gym, for sure. I think
the home climbing wall?
Mm-hmm.
And what does that look like? What would need to happen to get that completed or started?
Well, we've been talking about it a lot, so I think now we just need to make a trip to the hardware store and get the materials, and then we'd be able to get started. So really not that much.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you've already been exploring this quite deeply with Nathan. And what's keeping you from going to the hardware store and starting this project?
The last couple of days it's been the weather, because it's been snowing, so we didn't want to carry wood on top of the car when it was wet.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, not too much else.
And how long, once the weather is conducive to be able to go get the materials that you need, how long is the process to build this wall?
people have done it in a weekend, so not too lengthy. I think if we can commit a couple days to it, we could probably just get it done.
And it changes in your lifestyle when you have that complete.
I'm sorry?
How will that change your frustration levels, your lifestyle, once you have that complete, that project?
I think it would shift a lot. It would just give me another avenue to do something that I enjoy. And even if it's not outdoors, it would still be a different activity that I enjoy doing. So I think it would shift a lot.
Great. Well, it sounds like you're designing a way to alleviate that frustration. Is there a day that you can put on your calendar to take some action towards this, to go to the hardware and actually purchase the materials?
I would say probably this weekend sometime. It would depend on when Nathan is free too. So I can commit to having that discussion with him tonight and then set a date to go.
And how does that feel, just talking about moving forward with that project?
I feel more free. Like I have more freedom to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels good.
Can you say a little bit more about the freedom piece?
It just feels like I have more areas to, I don't know, more things to enjoy. And that feels good. Just different avenues to do what I like to do.
Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, how does that make a difference in how you show up, not only in the relationship, but to your students, to your friends, to your family?
I think it makes me more open to others because I don't feel as frustrated or distracted with other things that are going on. Just being able to release my energy in another way makes me feel more grounded, and I can show up more wholly for everyone else.
Yeah. And I want to acknowledge that because I have taken your classes before, and I think you're an incredible teacher. And I can tell just from an intuitive standpoint when you're feeling grounded and when you're not. And we all as teachers have those days. Moments. And as teachers, when we come from places, we offer our students so much of who we are, and we're transparent and we're authentic and we come from our hearts and we're aligned, and it's just a beautiful place to be, and I've seen it in you, and I just want to acknowledge that I know that is within you, and I also know that we struggle. So I just want to, for a brief moment here, talk about when the frustration feeling comes up, what are some tools that you can use to sort of nip that so it doesn't expand into those areas that you say that you want to feel grounded in?
I think breathing is a huge way to step out of that feeling of frustration. So everything that we talk about in classes with breathing, just the deep breath and sitting in it.
Great. And does that include like going to a space that's totally quiet and by yourself and breathing in it? So just taking some deep conscious breaths wherever you are?
I think both. Depending on where I am and how accessible a quiet space might be.
That's great.
I love that. Is there anything else that would serve you in those moments of frustration?
I've noticed lately, too, just changing my thought pattern. And it kind of goes with the stories that we repeat in our head that we were talking about earlier, but it's almost like your brain gets trained to go to that space of frustration, and over time you just automatically react and go to it. But if you get yourself out of it and go do something completely different, then it shifts something inside, and somehow the feelings and thoughts change too with your actions. So just stepping out of that pattern and moving into something different.
Yeah. I love that insight. And oftentimes it's not so easy just to step out of it, but bringing awareness is the first step to change in everything. Just bringing awareness around that. And a good friend of mine once told me that the brain can hold two thoughts at one time. So if it's holding a negative thought and you change it to a positive thought, the positive thought is going to be there. And, you know, changing a habit or changing a thought, you know, it takes about 21 to 30 days to really ingrain it into your system. So I love that you are bringing that into your awareness. It's great. So we are at the end of our short time here, Frances. Check in and see if you could start with an I am committed to statement to the first step that you're going to take towards your goal for the week.
I am committed to having a conversation tonight with Nathan to set a date to go get materials for our climbing wall.
Great. And will I be able to check in with you maybe over the weekend and see how it's going?
Yeah.
Great. I'm really going to do this, just so you know.
Okay.
and also, what was your takeaway from our session today?
I think it's just nice to have someone who's unbiased. It's almost like hearing yourself think, that you're speaking your thoughts out loud and having someone repeat it back to you. And that it helps to clarify a lot of the thoughts that tend to get jumbled in our heads a lot of times. So it just gives more clarity.
Well, I'm glad. I'm really glad. I've got a little bit more clarity around something real that's happening in your life. Thank you for bringing that authenticity to our call. And thanks for volunteering. So if everyone else could unmute, star six, welcome back. I would just love for all three of you, well, actually, Frances, you'll go second to last. Nicole, Olga, or Jess, to just start and give some feedback. What was that experience like for you, and what questions do you have?
This is Nicole. That was awesome. I just loved being a witness to that conversation. What came to mind to me was, wow, she's got a lot of amazing questions. And when will I learn all these questions? Or does that just come very naturally to you now? And I guess that's what we'll be learning, right? So it made me excited to be able to navigate a conversation like this. It was very clear that you were listening very intently, and it was also very clear that you offered her what she already knew the answers, right? She already knew it, and it was cool, though, to watch you get to those specific questions that brought out the information. And I think going back to what we said earlier about the difference between coaching and therapy, this became very obvious to me why this is different, because it was so positive and it was so focused on steps that she needed to take. And letting her clarify, I think you said that a few times, can you clarify how you feel, or what would happen, how would you feel if, or imagine if, or these kind of scenarios so she could actually really envision where she was going with the information. And, yeah, so I don't know. I loved being an observer to that conversation. It was really brilliant. So thank you both.
You are so welcome. Thank you for sharing your insight. And to answer your question, it's just like anything. You build your mentor coaching muscle the same way you can into crow pose and then straighten your arms, right? It's just practice. It's no different than how we show up on our mats, right? And so the learning is there. It's repetition, engagement, and it's practice. So thank you for starting off the conversation with your thoughts. Who would like to go next?
This is Olga. I love the questions, and then the essence of it all is you being able to ask these open-ended questions so that she can get into, you know, what she was feeling and what she was needing. And so therefore coming up with, you know, one of the things that, one of the questions was, you know, what is keeping you? So she really has to tap into what she's feeling. So, you know, convenience obviously was one of them, and time and the weather. But, you know, underneath all that was this feeling of, like, dread. It, you know, I was like, how am I going to get out of this? But by asking the question, she connects to that part of herself so that she can, you know, then figure out, maybe I can do something indoors, again, because of the questions that you asked. So those questions allow to just tap within. And that the issues are not just, you know, from the outside. It's, everything is just going on internally.
Exactly. That's great insight, Olga. And, oh my goodness, I had a thought and I just lost it. You know, in this process of mentor coaching and having this be a collaborative process, sorry, I lost that again. It must not be that important. Yes, all right, we're going toward them and pause rather than focusing on the problems. Really, really distinct, different. We begin in the definition of what is mentor coaching. It's finding possibility thinking, solutions, moving forward, rather than constantly putting energy into the problems. I love that. Thank you for sharing. What was your take?
Sorry, I had muted because there's some noise outside.
That's okay.
That's good. I really loved that you kept bringing it back to the feelings, and that you really let her kind of make the call. So it wasn't like, well, it sounds to me like, you know, this is your best option. It wasn't really advice. It was just really reflecting back to her and staying present with her. And I was just really struck by the simplicity of it, like not to downplay the process at all, but it just seemed really smooth and simple. And I think sometimes we think that the things we want to work towards, we have all these blocks, all these resistances. And I wasn't trying to say that Frances has resistance, but I just think it's, I don't know, I just was struck by the simplicity of the process.
I think that comes over time, too, and I want to challenge you again, Jess, with the simplicity of a yoga practice. Can you speak a little bit about that and how you practice, and where is that parallel drawn?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, I think there's an elegance to the most basic of poses, and also so much fulfillment even from Tadasana, you know, from mountain pose. So
I guess, when it's done, and I know it's not simple. I don't mean to say that it was simple, like that it was easy. I think it's more like this, a feeling of like elegance and flow and smoothness and, yeah. And that's how I feel like even doing Sun Salute A's, like it's just simple and elegant and it's everything.
That's just a beautiful analogy there. I love that, the elegance and the flow, and I didn't take it as being easy at all. I took it the way that you intended it. It's refined, and it is in flow. And when you are in sync with your client, remember, again, this is a collaborative process. You're not going to find this type of flow and energy, at least from my opinion and my experience, in a therapy or consultation session. This is where two people are on the same page and they're flowing together. They're dancing with each other. I felt that Francis and I were dancing. Even if it's a simple pose like Tadasana, from there we're building foundation to move into all the other maybe more challenging places. So, you know, Tadasana is a blueprint posture, and from there you can take it wherever you want to go. So, I love that. Thank you. Francis, how was that for you?
I agree. It was just really simple and easy. And like I said before, it just made everything more clear in my head. So it flowed really, really well.
Can you talk about any somatic experiences that you had during our conversation? Like, did you start off nervous and maybe find yourself at ease, or were you concerned about what you were going to bring to the session? Anything like that?
I was a little unsure of what I was going to talk about, but it kind of just came up, and the more we started talking, the more that came up for me, and it wasn't like I was pulling for things to say or anything.
So as coaches, we're meeting the client exactly where they are, just like in yoga. We're meeting ourselves on our mat exactly where we are, and our yoga practice will show up for us in exactly where we need to be in that moment. So it's not always this way between coach and client. It's not always flowing. Like, you may start off with a client or have a particular time or day session, where the client doesn't really know what they want to talk about. They're not really clear what their agenda is. And so we'll learn as we go along. There are tools like brainstorming that is very, very effective in helping the client distill what it is that they want to talk about. And it's never about one thing. Everything is intertwined. So they may come to the table with one agenda, and it may move directly into something else that incorporates that but grows and expands. So, through this journey and through this process, you will continue to learn about ways to handle most every situation that your client can bring to the table. What questions that I haven't answered or that have just come up for any of you before we talk about the OM work for next week? Okay. So it's on the syllabus as well, but I'm just reading off of that. But you can write it down if the syllabus isn't pulled up right now. Your OM work before next session, or by next session, which is next Tuesday, the 14th, is to begin working on your SMART goals. So just play around with some ideas. Because I really want this to be, I would really encourage you to make this real, make this live, make this something that you want for your life. Use this time to create and design the life that you want. And also, the second piece is in the yoga supplement. read page one and do the action challenges on page two. That's in the yoga supplement. And then the reading for next week is pages 45 through 66. Okay. So again, just as a reminder, if you could send me your bios, any dates that you will not be available live on our call, that would be great if you could do that by the end of this week. I'd appreciate it. And next week, someone will volunteer to ground us. We don't have to decide that now. We'll decide it at the time. And then I'd like another volunteer for me to coach at the top of the hour. Yeah, and then starting in week three, you guys are going to be doing this brilliant work. Okay?
Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, so great to meet all of you virtually. I'll get to see what you look like soon. And just know that I'm available through the email that I sent you for any questions, concerns, comments that come up between now and next week. Okay. You guys have an awesome week.
Thank you.
All right. Namaste. Thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye. Bye. Bye.